Hey, Sens fans, this is Stuntman Stu, and you're listening to the Six Sens Podcast.
It's just a bad movie where there's no crying, handing the keys to me in this red line, where the lock that you locked in the suite says there's no crying. When the breath that you breathe in the street screams, there's no science. When you look how you looked then to me, that I cease lying and fall into silence. This is a life story, so there's no climax. No more new territory, so pull away the IMAX. In the slot that you sliced through the scene, there was no shyness. In the plot that you passed through your teeth, there was no pity, no faded. Film begins on a kid in the big city, and no cut to a costly parade that's for him.
And this is the Sixth Sense Podcast. My name is Nichols.
And my name is Tim, and we're back for round three.
Round three, yeah.
That's not too bad, eh?
No, it's not too bad. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a blast. I'm enjoying these, like, coming in on Wednesdays and hammering this out. It's fun. It's a nice little break in the week.
I love coming in here, too. It's my hump day, right?
Yeah, and the Senators aren't playing tonight, so it's not even...
Yeah, we're not even committing a cardinal crime here, right?
No, I know.
And we get to come into this beautiful studio and escape that horrible snow out there, which I bet is probably turning to freezing rain as we talk.
Yeah, probably. Should be a fun ride home.
Yep, it should be interesting. Maybe this will be our last show. Who knows, folks?
Going out with a bang.
So what's going on in the world of the Ottawa Senators? They're not...
They're not faring too well, are they?
They're not going out with any bangs, eh?
No.
What would you call it? Like a little fizzle?
There's some sizzle in the pan.
Yeah, it's like...
Kovalev and Spezza are under fire now. That honeymoon's over.
Yeah.
Jason Spezza, your breakout year. Just, it isn't happening that way.
Who has a longer leash?
Spezza, he has to.
You'd hope so.
He's protected by his no-trade clause. We're kind of stuck with him for the next little bit.
He's been Steve Yzerman for our team for how many years now? So, of course, he's got to have a long leash.
Patience.
Anyways, so they've been getting a lot of attention in the press.
Yeah, especially this afternoon. I didn't read the papers until I bumped into you.
Well, I just have to show you that because apparently, you know, some people aren't of the opinion that someone could theoretically be hurt and not telling anyone, or maybe it's just a nagging injury.
It's almost as ridiculous as a theory as having a fetus.
Or eating a hot dog in the shower.
Yeah, the thought of Spezza playing hurt, that's just fucking ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
I have no idea.
You don't think Spezza would play hurt?
Didn't he say he's kind of hurting?
Yeah, he says that before, but if this was as bad as it got, I don't know the exact quote, but it was something to that extent. If it was,
the context is the same. Who cares?
If this is as bad as it gets, then whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a joke.
It is. It's a downer. But the guy says he's not 100%, therefore...
Quit making excuses for him, Tim.
Yeah, that's all I am. Just the Jason Spezza apologist.
And yeah.
I can't possibly look at a situation without having any real knowledge and draw a rational conclusion, right? I mean... Crucify me for that.
You know what I don't really get, though, is the fact that I consider Ottawa to be like one of those middle of the pack teams. So it's like, obviously, like, they're playing well.
Yeah,
14-7-2 or something like that.
It's good enough for tops in the Northeast.
But like, all of a sudden they have a 4-game losing streak and everyone's freaking out like it's a fucking apocalypse. What the hell? They're not an elite team in the Eastern Conference. So why is a 4-game losing streak reason to fucking jump off the nearest building?
Well,
it's a joke.
They got off to a great start.
Yeah, but. Come on.
I know these things are going to happen over the course of a season, right? Is it the manner? Do you think it's like the manner in which these games are being played? Like, do you think it's an effort thing? Do you think it's the fact that their top line isn't playing? Like, I don't even know what their top line is anymore.
Oh, it's Fisher, Mahalik, and Alpha, yeah.
So Jason Spezza is now relegated to Danny Heatley duty on the second line.
See, I still don't understand why. I know like some people are all over the Kovalev Spezza pairing. I just don't see it. I don't understand how it can work because both guys want to have control of the puck, and they're better when both have control of the puck.
They're both incredibly creative players too, who need to have guys who are gonna, you know.
But did you read that Kovalev
the whip dog? Right?
Did you read that Kovalev comment in the papers after Eugene Melnyk made a statement where he's like, "I wish hockey was like tennis, where you knew if you're gonna have a good game or not. You're so dependent on your teammates." Is that like a crack against his line mates? Like, what the fuck is going on with this guy?
Can anyone on Ottawa play with him? I think it might be a blatant crack at his teammates.
But he's played with almost everybody. Like,
he maybe it's not a matter of whether or not he can play with other people. It's just, do other people want to play with him and be back-checking hard for him, picking up the slack, right?
No, that's true.
So the West Coast wasn't particularly kind to us. We took 3 out of 10 points?
3 out of 10 points. But, I mean, they played some good teams.
Yep, they did.
Like, Los Angeles is a lot better than people realize. I think Phoenix is improving.
I think Anaheim is kind of in the same boat as Ottawa this year, too.
Maybe, yeah, they're struggling a bit, but they weren't very impressive.
Potentially
They kind of remind me how Ottawa was last year, where it's just, you know, like they have their best three players, and then everyone else sucks.
Where did their supporting cast go? What happened to Bobby Ryan?
Yeah, well, he's underachieving.
Yep, he is.
Trade him. No excuses.
Absolutely none. He is not hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe. No way.
He's not playing hurt. What happened to that old adage in hockey where nobody ever plays at 100% in hockey?
You play tough to win the games, right? Isn't that the mentality?
We're apologists for Jason Spezza.
I think there's a war metaphor out there for that. Something about, like, I don't know, like, you're going to lose a few boys in battle, but the troops march on. I don't know, some kind of garbage cliche like that. Just tune into hockey to Coach's Corner, and Don will fill you in, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
I heard a rumor Chris Neal was hurt, too. Can you confirm this? Leclerc?
Chris Neal and Pascal Leclerc were skating prior to practice this morning. I think Leclerc saw some pucks.
Yep. Obviously, he didn't see the one that came his way when it came off Fisher's stick.
You know what? Your performance has been subpar right now, Tim. Yeah. Obviously, you're playing hurt.
Don't make excuses for me, Graham. I'm just hungover. You don't know what's going on with me. I'm not.
After the first week, you admitted that you were hurt, but now you can't be hurt. Like, your just performance sucks, man.
Listen, I'll say this. I'm not 100%, but I'm also not hurt.
Yeah, so, like, there's a lot of negativity going around in the city, and I guess it's justified. The team's not playing very well, but, like, fans are panicking. I don't really get it.
It's contagious, too.
Like, I don't really want to dwell on it because, you know, there's ebbs and flows to every season, and, you know, Ottawa's not a good enough team where, like, a 4-game losing streak should justify the amount of tension it's getting. Like, it's wild.
Sorry, I'm still getting over the fact that you said ebb and flow there. You are listening to the Sixth Sense Zen radio program today. Coming up, we're going to be interviewing a famous Thai monk. Anyways, you're right. There is a certain ebb and flow or a yin and yang to the season where, you know, for every time you're going to go on a 4 or 5-game losing streak, you're going to win a couple again for the most part. And this team is what, you know, somewhere in the bottom half of playoff teams, but not home ice, right?
Yeah, well, we always said they were what, like a 6 to, at best, a 6th seed?
I would have given them a little bit more, maybe 5th or 4th. Tops. Absolute tops. That's everything working out perfectly for the Senators, right?
Yeah.
That's all the question marks becoming exclamation marks.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just not happening for them this year.
You know what, Tim? Like, I can't even dwell on this negativity anymore.
No, it just gets to be too much. Even talking about the frustration, and I don't want people to think that we've gone soft or anything, but it's just tiring after a while, right?
But like, how often can you microanalyze 5 losses?
Especially when it's the same problems over and over and over again.
It gets tiresome. So you know what? Instead of dwelling on what's going on with the current product, let's switch gears and focus on the future.
Yep, there's a lot of good stuff that's going on in the Sens future, and we have the Sens future essentially in a nutshell on our program today.
Who have you booked?
Michael Sharp.
Oh, from Sharp on the Sens, the Binghamton Senators blog.
Yep, we got him. And following that up,
that's good. Maybe you can shed some light on what the hell's going on with Brian Lee and Binghamton.
No kidding. That's a question that everyone seems to want an answer to.
Let's call Michael Sharp.
fix it and still care? Can I run and you'll be there? Wishing I could run and hide. Juggling messages inside. Stalling, trying to buy more time. Can I be a part of you? How to get there, what to do? Can I get there from inside? Of all the ways I could have tried, can I be there all the time?
Josh Hennessy, who numbers aren't right in front of me, but I believe it's 7 goals, 5 assists in his last 6 games. He's really broken out. Kasper Stogovins, who perhaps not surprisingly plays on the same line as Hennessy, has also played some of his best hockey, 4 goals in 5 games. So offensively, they're getting contributions from a lot of guys. It's what you hope for when a key guy goes up. Some of these younger guys, some of these role players are bigger roles, they're gaining some confidence. And goaltending really hasn't missed a beat with Brodeur up there. Got a couple good starts from Andy Kyoto, and then Chris Holt, the third goaltender they signed this summer, has come up from Elmira in the ECHL, and he had 2 shutouts in his first 2 starts, and he's 2-1 as well. So goaltending and some good offensive contributions, and defensively they're keeping shots down. So a lot of things coming together right now for Binghamton.
So Brian Lee was sent down by Ottawa about maybe a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
He hasn't played much recently. I guess he's coping with an injury. I read your article off of pressconnects.com this morning, and you got into it a little bit. Do you mind just enlightening our viewers who might not have seen your article this morning?
Yeah, not a problem. Since he came down the day after, the U.S. Thanksgiving, he played that night in Toronto, and he's since missed the next 3 games. The first night they said it was the flu. He practiced for much of the next week. And has since missed the next 2 games and not practiced. The team is calling it a lower body injury. They're saying that he's out indefinitely, and they're saying now that he's likely to probably miss the rest of December at this point.
I guess you're not really getting too much disclosure from the organization then?
Yeah, they're pretty guarded down here with the injuries, and I guess that guardedness goes up by, especially when you're talking about a number one draft pick. So, they really haven't let on. I mean, he's been able to do some off-ice training, but he hasn't really been on the ice much. And, he's not walking around with any casts or ice bags or anything. But they're calling it a lower body injury right now. And they're saying that, possibly through December right now.
The reason why I'm just asking is because there's been a lot of trade speculation lately. So I guess there's been a few, more than a few, conspiracy theories out there that they've been resting him in case there's a potential trade on the back burner.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard the same thing. I talked to Brian actually about the trades yesterday. He said, just based on our discussion, I believed him. He said he hadn't heard anything from his agent or the team regarding a possible trade at this point. I don't think the team would come out and say he's out indefinitely out through the end of the month if they were closing in on a trade or something. I would think that would hurt his trade value right now. But
how's he handled it so far?
Pretty good. I mean, just from the limited interactions I had with him, he's obviously frustrated. I think he obviously believes that he's capable of playing at that level. And, when I talked to him yesterday, he kind of said, now I need to just work that much harder and work my way back up there again. So he certainly seemed to strike the right tone with his comments, I thought, yesterday.
Yeah, Brian's been up and down quite a bit over the past 2 seasons. Have you noticed a change in his demeanor?
That I haven't seen much of him just because, after games and stuff, he hasn't played, so we haven't been talking to him quite as much. I can't really say I've seen you know, much of a change in his demeanor over the last 3 years. I mean, you know, obviously, like I said, obviously he's a little frustrated right now, and obviously he believes he can play up there. But, you know, in terms of, you know, coming down here and pouting or anything like that, personally, I haven't seen that.
There's been another player who's been kind of up and down for the past two years. Cody Bass. I guess, like, Tim and I haven't been able to watch too many Binghamton games. I saw them back when they were up in Ottawa for that one game. But sure. one of the glaring statistics, which is when you gloss over the Binghamton roster, is Cody Bass is a minus 12. Is there a particular reason for that? Or how would you evaluate Cody Bass thus far?
Sure. Like you said, it's hard to miss that stat, especially when, you know, it's far and away the worst on the team, plus minus wise.
Yeah, I think like the next closest guy was minus 5, maybe. So
yeah, Derek Smith, right? Minus 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got guys like Josh Hennessy who are plus 16 right now. So it's you know, it's certainly a glaring stat, and it's one that's kind of dogged him since the beginning of the season. That said, I was looking back over today. He's actually over his last 17 games, he's a minus 1, and it's a stat that kind of piled up on him real quickly there. Binghamton had a couple one-sided losses to Hershey and Wilkes-Barre, two of the better teams in the division. And I think that within the first 8 games or something, it was quickly down to minus 12. So, you know, it's probably not completely telling of his season to date, and I don't know if what exactly contributed to that to start there, be it the fact that he was just kind of playing himself back after missing most of the second half of last season, or, you know, in part, you know, probably his play, in part the opponents, in part the fact that he's, you know, consistently locked up, usually with the opponent's top line. I think a lot of factors came into play there. You know, it's a tough stat to totally evaluate, just because, as you guys know, fully. But, you know, but that said, I mean, at some point, minus 12 is what you are. So, you know, it's kind of tough, but I would say he's definitely played much better of late. He's their first option off the bench, penalty kill-wise. He and Eric Condra have kind of emerged as their kind of go-to forward pairing for penalty killing. He's on a line right now with Zach Smith, kind of a checking third line there that they play pretty well. So I think he's definitely on the upswing, and I think it's a little bit of a deceptive stat only because it piled up real quickly on him there.
Tim and I are just kind of laughing when you mentioned Condra's name. We're just kind of wondering if it was Bass who bailed Condra out of jail last week.
Yeah, I don't think there was any jail time or anything.
Oh, there wasn't? Okay.
I think it was just a violation, yeah. Yeah.
That's good to hear. So another guy who had a good go at the Senators camp this year, Jim O'Brien, mm-hmm. He's playing on the fourth line, I understand, with Yablonski and Spencer. How did he end up there?
Well, no one's going to take any liberties on Jim O'Brien this season. yeah.
That's for sure.
I don't know, you know, it's just kind of where he started out, you know, kind of probably a little bit of a slower start for Jim in terms of getting his feet underneath him and kind of getting used to the pro game or the AHL. That said, you can definitely see some definite strides over the last couple games. He got his first goal there Thanksgiving night. They blew out Adirondack in the last minute, I believe. Jim came down and got his first AHL goal, which was, I think, big for him and his confidence. And just watching him since then, you know, starting to do a little bit more with the puck. You can see kind of his confidence on the rise. He's always shown flashes throughout the season. He's always shown kind of some flashes of his potential. But I think you're seeing it more consistently and a lot more confidence of late.
You mentioned Josh Hennessy a bit earlier. Hennessy's always kind of been that guy in Ottawa that we'd look back at the Martin Havlat trade and just kind of wonder, well, he was a second-round pick. We're just kind of worried that, you know, maybe he'll never become the player that many hoped that he would be. How has he played this year? Because just on the surface, you look at his numbers and they're fantastic.
Yeah, no, I think what's encouraging for Binghamton is that he's always been a little bit of a slow starter and a real good second half type guy. Last year in February, he was easily one of their best players, if not their best player in February last year. You know, I think what it comes down to for Josh is just consistency. You know, you see him, you know, take over periods and put up these huge games, and then I think the biggest thing for him is just putting big game after big game. That said, I did a story about him a couple, like a week ago or so, and it's interesting to remember that he's still only 24. You know, he's the longest tenured defense here right now in terms of continuous season. So sometimes you kind of lose sight of the fact he's still just 24 and, you know, probably has some, or I would say definitely has some good seasons ahead of him. But I would say, you know, if you wanted to boil it down to something, consistency has been his biggest thing.
Do you see him as a potential call-up in the near future? Because I guess Ryan Keller's, I guess, call-up was a bit of a surprise, I guess, to most Sens fans because he came over from Europe. We don't know too much about him.
Yeah, Ryan got off to a tremendous start, was leading the whole league, actually, in goals at the time of his call-up and had easily been, you know, Binghamton's best forward. So I think it was a well-deserved call-up at the time. Certainly, I think, you know, should the need arise moving forward here, you know, you would take Keller out of the discussion, but I think certainly Josh has played his way into that discussion for sure.
Speaking of players who have played well recently, Erik Karlsson, what changes did you see in him from when he was initially sent down and he was quite outspoken in the papers about how he was unhappy with the decision? How did he turn it around in his games in Binghamton?
From that very first game, he had a really nice setup for Winchester. Just a great pass back across the edge, back door to Jesse, which was fantastic. You know, from the start, I think there was no question about his offensive abilities. I think, you know, one of the things that I noticed was, you know, still a guy who needs to cut back on turnovers sometimes, maybe either trying to do a little bit too much at times or just, I kind of compared him to a young point guard in basketball that might just, you know, the talent is obviously there, but, you know, the turnovers and trying to do too much and do too much too quickly kind of loses the ball. So I noticed turnovers as one thing, but unquestionably his offensive ability was there from the start.
Yeah, I think the turnovers are just going to be a matter of life for Erik Karlsson, the way he plays the game, and they're an inevitability. He's just going to have to learn how to minimize them or know what situations are going to be okay to really let loose and which ones aren't.
Do you miss Ilya Zubov at all?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's just an interesting situation back-to-back years, you know, in the cool and last year, unhappy, and then Zubov this year. I was kind of surprised to see the Zubov situation fall apart like it did, just because he was always kind of different from Nikulin. Nikulin always a little bit more reserved. Obviously, he was unhappy at the start of last year, and Zubov, it just seemed like consistently smile on his face, happy to be here and whatnot, but just, you know, I guess ran out of patience for the development track and just the chance to go home and apparently a pretty nice payday was awaiting him back there.
Okay. I guess, like, in some of the recent pieces I've written on our website, I guess, like, people have kind of criticized Brian Murray for his tenure because there hasn't been a lot of immediate results. I've always kind of championed the fact that he's rebuilt the team a bit through the draft and through the farm system. Maybe you could shed some light on how the Murray era is kind of different from his predecessors in Binghamton in terms of putting a decent product on the ice.
Yeah, you know, I took over in December of 2005 down here. So that was halfway through the year after the lockout year, which I think there was a bit of a hangover in Binghamton from how great that was, you know, the year before to see Ben, all those guys pretty much go back to the NHL. The year after was the worst year in Binghamton's history, and really just the cover was pretty bare there, and prospects-wise and whatnot. Moving forward, you know, you've seen some new draft picks come through. You know, a guy like Zach Smith certainly stands out, a guy who was drafted in his draft year comes in and made a pretty big impact last year. I think he has a bright future. You know, I would say that I've seen more attention paid to Binghamton since the Murrays took over. I think the team that they put together here in Binghamton last year was certainly playoff caliber and was probably a team that could have gone far in the playoffs. The only problem was that with all the stuff that fell apart up in Ottawa, that team didn't last very long down here. You know, your Brendan Bell went up, you know, Ryan Shannon went up, Brian Elliott went up, Corey Clouston went up. You know, I think that was probably the best team that I've seen so far here, the team started last year. But, you know, they've made some nice finds this year. Keller coming back from Europe was a nice find. Martin St. Pierre was a nice kind of more of a veteran-type addition to this offense. It was good job by them to go out and get Mike Brodeur and Chris Holt and Nick Kyoto and really kind of rework the goaltending situation, which was obviously a mess last year after Elliott left. So, you know, I would say that I've seen it addressed further than I did when I first took over. That said, you know, it's still been since the lockout year that this team has made the playoffs, and, you know, there's a lot of impatience from the fans to get back there at some point. And I think until the fans see that, they're always going to be a little bit weary of the situation, you know, until they see this team back in the playoffs.
Well, hopefully for everyone, what's good for the Goose is good for the Gander in this situation. So hopefully Bingo can get back up into the elite status in the league, and Bingo will continue to succeed as well as the Senators down the road.
All right. So what are you working on for the rest of the week, Michael, in regards to the Bingham Senators?
Absolutely. Friday night they're in Wilkes-Barre, always a big test for them. It's a tough building for them to play in. It's for Andy Kyoto, goaltender here. It's his return. He was the goaltender, actually, that upset that a lockout team that Binghamton had. So it's for him, it's a homecoming, heading back to Wilkes-Barre. And then Saturday they're hosting Syracuse here in Binghamton. A couple interesting storylines there. Syracuse forward Kevin Harvey suspended 2 games for elbowing one of Binghamton's defensemen. He should be back in the lineup there, so we'll see if that leads to anything. And then also Brendan Bell, who is you guys know very well, was traded for by Columbus this week, so he'll be making his Binghamton return there with Syracuse on Saturday night.
Yeah, I noticed that. Good for him.
It's good to see him still playing.
Yeah, no kidding. Nice to see him back. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Michael. Thanks for taking the time, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for your time, Michael.
Thank you guys.
Cheers.
All right.
Well, it's good to finally get a good grasp of like what's actually going on in Bingo. Like, I thought the Brian Lee stuff was pretty interesting.
Oh, absolutely. It's the stuff that you really don't get to hear about day to day.
And it's nice to hear like some of the lesser light prospects are, you know, progressing in their game. Guys like Jim O'Brien and Casper Dagovins. It's interesting to hear about his comments on Josh Hennessy as well.
Yeah, and Keller.
So maybe Hennessy will be back up and we can stop shitting on John Mockler for the Havlat trade.
No kidding. And to think that people...
Actually, that's never going to happen. Who am I kidding? I'm still going to shit.
I can't believe you just said that. and it's good to hear, too, that the team still continued to do well without Keller and Brodeur and Holt, obviously, stepping up huge.
And Cody Bass is starting to come around as well. But yep. You know what? It'd probably be a good idea to find out what's going on with some of our amateur prospects.
Absolutely.
So...
maybe one with big dreams, big hopes... big aspirations.
I don't think it gets much bigger than Jared Cowan.
Jared Cowan? What?
Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Watch
Okay, and we're back, listeners. We have Jared Cowan on the line, and if you don't know the name by now, then you're probably not from this part of Ontario. Spokane Chiefs defenseman, Team Canada.
Ninth overall pick by the Ottawa Senators last summer.
So Team Canada hopeful.
So, Jared, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Yeah, doing pretty well.
We're heading out from the snow today. We're getting about 20 centimeters right now.
And, oh.
Yep, another 60 to come, so...
Yeah, things are good in Ottawa.
Yeah, get ready for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, out here, it's pretty cold here, but no snow yet.
Yeah, lucky you. So anyways, Jared, last night I'm on the computer, probably 11 o'clock Eastern time, and we receive an email from one of our readers who's out in Spokane, and he says, just watch JC go end-to-end and school five players and single-handedly score on the backhand. Sick. So... go through the goal for us. How did it play out?
Well, sounds crazy to describe it there. it wasn't five guys. It was only two, and it wasn't totally end-to-end. I just got the puck out of the blue line, went around one guy, and the other guy tried to block a pass that I wasn't even going to make. Something. So I just went around him, and no one challenged me, so I went just to the net and put it down a little over the pad, backhand. So, I don't know. I used to have one of those goals every once in a while.
Well, sounds like a good fish story to me either way, so that's good. So, Jared, one of the most impressive things I've seen on the Spokane stat list is the 66 goals against for Spokane, which is the lowest in the WHL. Last year, we interviewed the GM of your team, Tim Speltz, and he said that heading into this season, one of the biggest question marks surrounding the team was the goaltending. And obviously, this year, 66 goals against, that's unbelievable. What have you and your other defensemen done as a collective to, you know, really achieve this tight defense?
I don't think there's any specifics, really. I mean, this year kind of reminds me of 2 years ago when we won the Borough Cup. We had a good decor there. Now we have the same thing. We had the lowest goals against that year. This year seems to be kind of the same story, but our decor... usually everyone plays the same partner back there, so we're pretty comfortable with each other and we know each other's habits, so that seems to be something that works well for us. So, but we just, you know, we practice hard, play hard, all those little things that, you know, every other player says. So I don't know what it is, but obviously, yeah, James Reeves has played really well, which helps a lot. So, yeah, everything just seems to go together pretty well.
Who's your blue line partner right now?
Oh, I've been playing Jared Spurgeon for 3 years now, so...
yeah, well, how does he complement your game?
I wouldn't say that we're opposites, but, I mean, I'm 6'5", he's, I don't know how tall, he's like 5'8", like that, so a little bit of, you know, different styles. He's pretty offensive, he jumps to the play a lot. Not saying I don't, but that's kind of his thing he's really good at, so, I mean, I can back guys off because I'm bigger, and he can be... more of a skill guy, you know, skate the puck and make some more risky plays, but if he doesn't work out, I'm always there to back him up. So we love playing together, though. We get along really well. We have good chemistry. So I've been playing with him for, you know, a long time now, and I think it really helped Beth Cup here. I think that was a big key for us.
So when our readers are listening to this, you know what they're going to be thinking after you said he's 5'8 and has a lot of puck moving skill? They're immediately thinking what? Eric Karlsson.
Yeah, it's so hard.
I know, man. They're going to be thinking about that for like the next year and a half, just waiting for you to come up. But so you played an exhibition game with Ottawa in the fall. So how was that experience playing in your hometown with Ottawa?
It was nice. It was the second game in Regina. So, I mean, the first game was in Montreal. That was a pretty iffy game for me. It was my first game back. It was for 20,000 fans. So... for Regina, I just wanted to, you know, kind of survive and not make any mistakes. But I felt a lot better that game, and I felt more like myself. So, you know, it was nice to get that one in my belt, though I played well. So it was a good game to play. Felt really good about how I played and how it performed. So I was hoping I'd get to stay a little bit longer, but hey, I saw things go. But, I mean, the knee was kind of a thing that was holding me back. So no regrets, really, though.
Were you surprised to get in at all? Because I know for a lot of the Sens writers at the time, it was a bit of a surprise to see that you got into a game considering your knee injury.
The plan was always for me to play a game, no matter how long it took. I mean, I'd be there for, you know, if it would have taken a month longer, I would have been there for another month. So luckily I got into a game as early as I did. Got a chance to play with the guys. The knee was progressing, you know, I would say slow, but just everything's a slow process with ACL, so it was pretty frustrating, but I was happy to finally get the game, get back to, you know, just being a player instead of a, you know, down the gym all the time, doing rehab, so it's a nice change, that's for sure.
Yeah, a nice change going from gym rat to rink rat again, eh? So I'm not, you probably didn't catch this, but Brian Murray had a nice quote in the Sun, Ottawa Sun, earlier in training camp, and what he said was, I can just envision him being you, in November being able to play at a very good level in this league. He was a tough one for me because I really like young players that step up the way he did. In the long run, it's better for him. And you know, I think that's a great sentiment right there from Brian Murray. And what do you think about that? Do you think that in the long run this is best for you?
Yeah, that's kind of tough to hear, knowing that, like, even the GM thinks you can play there, but, you know, I mean, going back here is probably better for me with, you know, the D and everything. Just being, get used to playing regular games and get back to the long season, so... You know, it sucks knowing you can be in the NHL playing games, like you said, by Christmas. So that would kind of hurt a little bit, but, you know, deep down I know that the best thing for me is to be here. The next year I can go full force at making the roster.
Well, you still have some unfinished business, too, I guess, with the World Juniors coming up and hopefully another Memorial Cup run. You can finish off some things you won't ever be able to do again after that.
That's for sure. I mean, leave this weekend for World Juniors and... pretty excited about that. It's going to be a good experience. There's a lot of good players there, but I think I get to find a spot on that roster somewhere.
Yeah. I guess going into the camp, another Ottawa defenseman is going to be there as well, Patrick Wierkosz. Have you met Pat before? Have you talked to him?
Yeah. I've met him. I've never played with him, really. I mean, development camp was on the ice a couple times with him, but never a game or really anything intense. I got to watch him just a little bit.
Yeah,
summer camp for World Juniors. So I don't really know a lot about him, but I know he's a good player, obviously.
Yeah, we were looking at the roster on TSN the other day, and I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw Toussaint's prospects on the defense. And I was trying to rack my brain to figure out if that had ever happened before in Senators history, and it hasn't. But there were two who played defense. Do you know who they are off the top of your head? Who the Toussaints were who last played for the World Junior team on defense?
No.
Fair enough. It took me a while to remember it too. It was Redden and Phillips, but they didn't play on the same team. Just
that would have been my first guess.
So going back to last season, Jared, obviously, like, you were expected to be going to the World Junior camp, but obviously you had the knee injury. Going back, like, people projected you to be a top five pick. Like, what was your mental state, I guess, after the injury, shortly thereafter?
Yeah, it probably kind of hit me pretty hard. If it would have happened, you know, a different year, it would have been so bad, but that was a draft year, kind of hit a little more, because, you know, everyone says that, you know, it's a draft, and no matter what happens, you're still getting drafted by a team. The numbers don't really matter, but, you know, inside, it's kind of a pride thing that, you know, you want to get drafted as high as you can, no matter what. So some people said it wouldn't affect the number I got drafted at, but I knew that some teams wouldn't want to have to deal with the injury, so it sucked that I didn't get drafted higher, but, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter. I'm really happy to get drafted to Ottawa. I wasn't expecting to go to the Canadian team at all, so all in all, I'm really happy with how things went.
So in the back of your mind, you're going to remember who passed you up then? So when you get a chance to play the blue team down the line, what to do?
I remember always, I think. I could name the teams off the top of my head.
Oh, people are going to love that here.
Are you looking forward to the rivalry between the Leafs and the Sens, Jared?
Yeah. I keep hearing about that. The rivalry between the Sens and Canadians is good enough for me, so I hear the Leafs are even more.
You know what to do in the red and white intramural game, then, if Kadri's coming down the wing on you?
Yeah. I'll tell you, but I know what to do.
That's not even a question, Graham. Come on. So we always hear a lot about your defensive game and your ability to be a shutdown guy. And then every once in a while you hear stuff about, you know, how you schooled five guys end-to-end, you know, flash in the pan of, you know, a young Paul Coffey or Bobby Orr or whatever. But we've been told before by Tim that your offensive skills are really underrated. What do you really pride yourself on in your offensive game?
Yeah, I think any tall guy or any big guy at the back end is usually underrated, you know, the offensive side of the game. I think if you're shorter, you're expected to be skilled or anything like that. But if you're taller, you're, you know, you're expected to be a shutdown guy. It's just how things go. But yeah, offensive game. I like, you know, everyone likes scoring goals. It's the funnest part of the game. So, you know, practice, you always want to, you know, try to score goals and imagine yourself scoring goals in a game. Work with your hands, work with your shot. So, yeah, I like skating the puck a lot. I think I'm a good skater. Usually I think I skate the puck down a good ways of the ice, but it's usually the finish that makes the big difference, like we were talking about the last game yesterday, where I actually got a chance to finish off there. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, scoring goals are the funnest part. But, hopefully I can do that more often here.
It must feel good to see your fight videos up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, those had some serious hits on them too, didn't they? No pun intended. Yeah. There was a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I think they went viral in Ottawa shortly thereafter, anyways. But
yeah, I watch those videos on YouTube though. It's nice to see yourself every once in a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I like the first one where you hit two guys and then I forget who came after you. I forget the guy's name.
I think it was against Portland.
Yeah, George. Yeah.
It was Portland.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was against Portland. That was quite impressive. Back to the World Juniors here. Did you watch the World Juniors last year?
Watched as much as I could.
Yeah.
I mean, down here, there's not a lot of coverage of hockey, but I watched the finals actually on TV. I was pretty surprised.
Well, Erik Karlsson, as I'm sure you know, got an absolute ton of attention. I guess you could call it his coming out party.
Especially because it was in Ottawa, too, yeah.
Yeah, that was just highlighted even more. What are you expecting from, you know, national media, the local Ottawa media, in terms of attention during this event, and how are you going to prepare for it?
I guess, honestly, I don't really know. I mean, this is probably one of the bigger events I've ever been a part of. You know, Met Cup was pretty big, but I keep hearing that there's one of the hardest parts of World Juniors is just, you know, kind of blocking out all the attention, all the media, just trying to focus on what you're actually there for. So, I guess I've expected a lot, as you can tell, that there's a lot of coverage. I remember watching when I was younger, there's always something on TV about World Juniors, what they're playing. There's always interviews going on. There's always some sort of story. So, I think there's going to be a lot of action going on. I guess the hardest part would be, you know, not trying to get lost and still playing good hockey.
I'd imagine ignoring Pierre Maguire is probably pretty tough, too.
That's gonna be the hardest part, I think. I'll have.
Yeah, the big pink elephant in between the benches.
Oh, so going back to draft day, Jared. Tim and I always joke about how Eugene Melnick's in the media. You obviously had a chance to meet him on the draft floor. How is the Huge in person?
I was pretty brief. I couldn't really tell you. I haven't really talked to him for, you know, maybe a second or two, but. Couldn't really tell you what kind of guy he's like. I hear he's a really good, funny guy, though, from the guys at in the dressing room in Ottawa.
Oh, yeah? No invitations to a Bird's Bar in Barbados, then?
Not yet, no.
You were mentioning guys in the dressing room. What have they been telling you about the city of Ottawa and, I guess, about the Senators organization in general?
I don't know. I mean, we weren't really in Ottawa. We were in Canada most of the time. I checked out Ottawa once since I was there for a month. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I hear good things. I haven't heard anything bad. Everyone says they love living there. They love downtown. They love, you know, doesn't even matter if they live in Canada. So I hear nothing but good things. So that makes me feel good about moving there eventually.
What kind of impressions did you get of the Senators organization during your time at the development camp and immediately following the draft?
Everyone's just really professional. I mean, I think everyone who got drafted went to their first NHL camp thought the exact same thing, that everything there is a business, and everyone's there to win, everyone's competing for a spot. a little bit different than junior, where, you know, most guys have their roster spot already set up for them. They have their jersey set up, but definitely go to the AHL, I mean, anything could really happen. And, you know, you can be on a chopping block any day. So everything's a little bit more serious, but at the same time, everyone likes to have fun. So it's a good way of life. So I'm really excited to, you know, eventually be a part of that.
Since you're part of the Senators family now, how closely were you following the Danny Healy thing?
Yeah, I think it was going on before the draft even, so once I finally got drafted, I paid a little bit more attention to it. Pretty interesting once you get around the guys and hear what they have to say about that. So it was I don't know if you'd say tense at training camp. He kind of walked through the door and was kind of talking about it, but it's kind of weird to be around that instead of watching it on TV.
I guess that's a bit of an eye-opener in terms of, I guess, media scrutiny. I guess, is that the best way to put it?
Yeah,
no, for sure, because, you know, training camp and fitness has to do, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys were allowed in this, one time to, you know, take pictures or whatever, so it's a different world, kind of, I guess.
So, Jared, talking off-seasons again here, what do you have planned for this coming off-season to prepare for training camp?
I just could be just get my leg back to normal pretty much. I mean, it's not the same as it used to be. So the biggest thing is going to be getting the bulk back on, get the strength back up, so I could, you know, feel normal out there and get back to feeling how I used to be before and excel instead of just trying to maintain. This offseason won't be as long as last year though, which will be kind of nice, I think. So I'll go back home this afternoon and skate and trade with the usual guys. It's usually a good program when I have good, so it's always exciting to go back there and get better.
Sorry, let me go a little off topic here, but did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you'd ever talk so much about your knee? Like, did that ever come to your mind that would be a constant point of discussion? Are you sick of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't have to talk about it. I'm not mad about that. It's just, you know, you get the same answers over and over, the same questions over and over, so it gets a little bit repetitive, but I know that I have to talk about it to some people, so it's not that big of a deal.
Good, good.
How do you feel about Keith Ballard?
Yeah, I saw that.
Have you ever
seen a day or two after? It's just a bizarre play, but I mean, it could happen to anyone. It's really weird, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's how Keith Ballard is sleeping at night these days, by saying it could have happened to anyone.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything even remotely close to that?
Well, I've seen, like, I broke my stick over the poles before. I've seen guys do it, but, I mean, usually you try to miss the goalie a little bit, so I don't know.
You try to.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, Since you're relatively young, I guess Tim and I are going to test you a bit on Senators trivia, if that's all right with you.
Just some Sens history.
See what you know.
Some staples, and I'm sure somewhere down the road someone's going to ask you about it eventually, so maybe a good thing to get under your belt now.
Okay.
All right, first question. Can you name any three of the original Ottawa Senators from the 92-93 season?
Probably not. was Bondra original?
Boschman?
Bondra?
Bondra.
Bondra, no.
No, Bondra started going with the Caps at that point, I think, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think he came to Ottawa in like 2005, 2004.
Yeah. This is before my time. I was only 2 years old.
That's right, so you wouldn't remember.
That's all right. We had Bruce Firestone on the first week we were running the podcast, and he said everyone who's a part of the Senators organization gets a historical context class.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Don't worry about it.
That's it?
What's your favorite Alfie moment in history?
Let me think. It's a tough one. I remember him most when they won the Olympics. Those stupid gold helmets they were wearing after they won. And it was great. It kind of made me so angry.
Didn't Elfie used to wear one of those old...
It's the old Jofa.
Yeah, the old Jofa when he first broke in.
Oh, God, those are ugly.
Those are the worst helmets. Peter Kleeman, all those guys.
See, you got to ride him about that when you get back into town.
Probably not.
Yeah. How did the veteran leadership of the Sens strike you, Jared, when you met those guys for the first time? What kind of impressions did you get from them?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it's a little bit different when you're talking about, you know, those guys are mad as down here. There's a couple, you know, boys and whatnot, so it's a big difference. I mean, most of those guys got family and kids and a wife, so it's a little bit different attitudes. They're adults, and you're just a kid in there, so, I mean, anything they say, you're going to listen to it. You know, look up to them a little bit. So you just kind of shut your mouth most of the time and try to screw up. You just listen and try to learn, so... yeah, they're teaching you the students, so you just gotta, you know, kind of mind your own business sometimes, but you know, stick around and learn what you can, I guess.
Did anyone kind of take you under your wing for the first little bit?
Well, I mean, I wasn't really involved that much. I was kind of on my own, doing my own B stuff and trying to get better so I could actually skate with the other guys. I mean, most of the time I was skating with Randy Lee by myself, so
yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of times I was with other guys, but, you know, eventually, I mean, it's training camp, so everyone's kind of on their own, trying to battle for a spot, just trying to, you know, impress everyone. So, not really, but, I mean, I wasn't really expecting anyone to, because I mean, I asked a couple guys about their knee, because I was the only one who's had knee surgery before. I mean, the Labaholics had knee surgery, a couple guys, Picard. So, I asked a couple questions, but, you know, nothing too big.
Did you watch any of the Senators' Stanley Cup run in 07?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that quite a bit. I was here in Spokane. I think I was here because I was called up as a 15-year-old. I was playing a couple of games. It was playoffs here. So, yeah, I remember watching that. I think I was at someone's house. What I remember the most is I was at someone's house in their basement and watching the one game where Fisher had, like, three hits in one shift. Against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I remember the most. So, yeah.
That was a good series.
Watched quite a bit of that series.
Yeah. So, Jared, I guess one of the big things is you're from Saskatchewan. Did you watch the Grey Cup? And did you shed a tear? I said, did you shed a tear over the Grey Cup final?
Oh, I actually didn't get a chance to watch it, but I was watching the first half or something. I had to go. I came back there. I was reading about what happened. It was just made me a little sick. Just, if you're going to lose, that's the worst way to lose, I think. Just stupid play. So, yeah, not happy about that at all.
It's ironic because Ottawa's taking a lot of too many men on the ice penalties right now, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, I think they have 8 so far.
Yeah.
Wow.
8 in 30 games. So, it's a bit of an issue.
Yeah, among others. Jared, what's been the worst bus ride you've ever had in junior hockey?
Probably the Prince George. My first year. A 14-hour drive, and we did it overnight, so we had to sleep on the bus the entire night. Just a bad trip all around. I don't know why. It's just, I'm not going to sleep on a bus that's bouncing around on the floor. So, yeah, that's just a bad trip.
Yeah, I know how those Greyhound seats feel, and I'm only 5'9", and that's brutal. That's quite. I couldn't imagine that for you.
Do you mind just play? It's just kind of like a fill in the blank kind of game. So, like, we'll read you a sentence, and then you just say like the first thing that kind of comes to your mind.
Okay.
All right. If I wasn't an Ottawa Senator, I would be
an Edmonton Oiler.
That's right. They drafted next.
That's amazing.
I'd like to hear Danny answer that one, too. What are you looking forward to most about living in Ottawa?
Ooh. I guess having my own place, or a nice place to live in, I guess.
What's the thing that you're going to miss the most about high school?
Easy to meet girls, yeah. They're all just waiting there for you to go out and look for them at all.
That's amazing.
Jared,
other than that, nothing.
Nothing. No, I don't blame you. I don't miss much from either. What's the best food to get in Spokane? What restaurant and what do you order?
Shenanigans. What, down by the river.
What's that?
It's just like a steak and seafood house. It's really good. Only been there once, but when I was there, the steak was unbelievable. So they'll go back there for my birthday. That's where we went last year, so it's my favorite.
What are you rocking out on your iPod these days?
If
you say Nickelback, the interview's over.
Well, Sean Nickelback.
Good. I was a little nervous there for a second.
I don't know everything. Like, our Euro or our team put some techno on, so I'm going to do that a little bit.
That's different. That's different.
That's a specific, though.
Who takes control of the CD player or the iPod dock or cassette player or whatever you guys use in the dressing room in Spokane? Does someone have that?
Maybe the rookies.
The rookies
do
that.
Have to.
Yeah.
Or Ryan Letts, our 20-year-old, does it a lot because he has the good music.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Jared. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I know you're a very busy guy this time of year, and just very glad that you were able to squeeze us into your schedule.
We wish you all the best heading into the World Junior Camp, and
thank you.
We look forward to seeing you.
We'll be watching like everyone else in Ottawa.
Take care, bud.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers.
You're very welcome. Bye.
So that was a bit of a Sixth Sense first. We had a player on.
Yeah, I like the format.
You know what? Can't say enough about having that guy on.
No.
Because like, he didn't give you those refurbished professional hockey player quotes. He was pretty candid with what he was saying. It's refreshing to hear, especially from a guy who's a captain in the WHL.
Yeah, he had his head on straight. He was modest. Like, there were countless times during the interview when you and I were looking at each other and giving each other the thumbs up. Like, you know, he's saying the right things. Like, that's exactly what we wanted to hear.
That's probably, like, my biggest concern, like, heading into the interview, actually. Was probably, you know, how are we going to piece together a half-hour interview with a player without getting, you know, the same, like, kind of, like, oh, well, it's a team game. We tried our hardest, and we'll go from there. But, like, he was a genuine, nice guy. You can't say nothing but kids like that.
Had a good personality.
No, exactly, yeah.
And he likes a good stick.
And he doesn't like Nickelback,
which
is huge.
There you go.
Which is huge.
That might have just said everything about Jared Cowan that we ever needed to know.
Seriously, is there anything else you need to like this guy anymore?
Apart from that, no, that's it.
I'm on record. Like, I'm looking way more forward to seeing this kid play next year than Carlson.
And he knows what to do when he sees Kadri coming down the wing.
Exactly. And right? How can you complain about that?
Unbelievable. He's going to figure this whole rivalry thing out pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I think.
It's not going to take him a lot of time.
No.
No. Nope. Especially if Toronto improves a bit.
If you were in the WHL or the O or the Q,
mm-hmm.
would you watch your own fights on YouTube?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think that's any different than watching your fight on replay on the big screen after...
No, and you always see the guys looking
up.
Yeah,
and smiling, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a thought that's been on my mind. Were you going to be able to get your car to the parking lot? Do you have a shovel?
Yeah, it's snowed pretty heavily outside there. Might be in trouble. If there's freezing rain, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, you're dead. You can sleep over at my place. You can stay on the couch if you want.
Yeah, no kidding. It's pretty bad. But so, final thoughts for this week with the Senators. They play in Philly tomorrow night. That's a big game. Philadelphia's not playing well, so it's a good opportunity for Ottawa to turn it around.
It seems like they're always big games. Every time I see this guy at my work, I always say to him, you know, big game tonight, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like every game is a big game.
I guess that's what happens when you're kind of like a Midland club. Every game is just as important as the last.
Exactly. And it's a good rivalry with Philly. Fortunately, no Emery.
Yeah. No, that's too bad.
Which is a little bit of a shame.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll take any breaks we can get, right?
No. It's too bad because he was playing well. And then, you know, he's a free agent at the end of the year. So he needs a good season. So it's kind of bad to see that.
Hopefully this podcast.
But not really because he's an asshole.
On the other side, it means that it's going to be an easy gimme on your ProLine ticket to pick the over for that game, right?
Yeah, Brian Elliott versus Brian Boucher. I don't blame you.
Yeah, the over is going to be, what, 9.5, I think? And you still go for it.
No, exactly.
1.1 odds. Do it anyway. It's a sure thing. The only thing sure than cliches in hockey is going to be that over. How'd you like the two interviews today? Do you like that format?
You know what? Informative. I guess is the best way to put it.
Perfect week for it too, right?
Yeah, there's not like it's. Better. I didn't really want to dwell on all this shit that's going on right now, so it's kind of nice to find out what's going on, especially with our prospects.
Exactly, just
because I kind of feel like we cover the Senators ad nauseum right on the website, so it just kind of becomes kind of mundane just to keep talking about the same issues week after week. So it's nice to get some enlightenment as to what's going on in the amateur and minor league ranks.
It's like an Ottawa vacation, right?
We yeah,
get to go to these
of.
Sunny, happy places where things are okay. And
yeah, well, at least Binghamton and Jared Cowan are playing well.
Yeah, amen, right?
Yeah, amen.
And at the end of the day, all three of those teams, not obviously not Team Jared Cowan, Team Spokane Chiefs,
yeah.
All going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So who we got to thank this week? We got a big list this week, don't we?
I'd like to thank Jay Stewart and Tim Speltz from the Spokane Chiefs for helping us track Jared Cowan down.
What an absolutely amazing organization they've been.
First class all the way.
With us from the get-go, talk about people who embrace alternative media.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tech savvy, prompt on the emails, fantastic people to deal with.
I'd also like to thank Michael Sharp from Sharp on the Sens of Binghamton Senators blog.
The Senators Pipeline Connection.
Yeah, it's a good read because it helps to find out what's going on in Bingo.
You know what's nice about reading his articles as well? Is that he's a very solid writer, just structurally. He knows what he's doing when he gets behind the keyboard.
Yeah.
He's good.
Well,
and I appreciate
not,
that.
Yeah. But anything else? What do we have on the podcast next week?
Fingers crossed here.
Fingers crossed. We actually have somebody already lined up, kind of?
I think we do now. I think we got the email earlier. I think we're good to go.
Any hints? Because I don't even know who you're talking about. So
cult figure.
Cult figure from what? Senators history?
Yep. Senators history.
No way.
No way.
Like, talking like how far back are you going? Like 10 years?
Longer.
15?
15.
So you're talking like first year.
Yeah.
Oh, so is it a player or is it a coach?
It's a player.
It's a first year player?
Yep.
It's not Brad Marsh, though.
No.
So is he Lori Boston?
He wore a helmet. He wore a helmet and he had a unique skating style.
So, and he's not local, right?
No. No, no, no. He lives in the city of Sin now, believe it or not. He lives in Las Vegas.
I have no idea who this is.
Yeah, you won't.
Cool.
You have no idea.
All right.
It's going to be great.
So are you going to reveal it at all on the website, or is it just going to be kind of like one of those wait and see things?
You'll have to tune in, I guess. Maybe we can get listeners.
Sweet. It's a hook.
Yeah. They come back for the swearing and the music. They like to hear a good guest once in a while, too.
Oh, yeah. A good guest once in a while. Perfect. Yeah. All right. So stay tuned. We'll see you guys next week.
Adios.
Cheers.